We're going to talk about, again, another aspect of the new level God is taking us to. Everyone is being taken to a new level. All of God's people will go to a new level or will go back 3 levels. That was the word the Lord gave us. That was last week or the week before. You will go to a new level or you will go back 3. You never go back to where you were. When God has come to bring you to a new place, when He's come to confront you about something in your life, you don't get to go back where you were. Because now that it's been an issue on God's front burner, you either break past the issue or it becomes worse in your life than it was before. So we don't want to go back 3. We want to go forward 1. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, is the faith that it takes to get to the new level. And the point that we're at on that circle. So, Father, we just ask You to come and to empower Your Word, quicken Your Word, Lord. Lord, this morning when You brought this to me, you just filled it with life and power. And I'm asking You to do that tonight as You bring it to Your people. Open our ears. Let us lay down our lives and decide to hear You and want to hear You and want Your Spirit to come alive inside of us as we listen. Please let us lay everything aside and pay attention to You tonight. Thank You, Jesus. Faith never stays the same. These first few points you might want to write down, and you might not have to write a lot other than the points of where we're going. Faith never stays the same. It has to grow and expand. It's like it's got yeast in it. God is preparing us to believe for some things that He wants to do. Our faith level right now is not where it needs to be for what God wants to do. If God were to walk in the room right now and tell us what He's getting ready to do, we probably would not be able to believe Him for it. So He has to stretch our faith. Our faith has to grow. Faith never stays the same. It must grow and expand. 2, every level of spiritual growth is determined by the increase of faith that we generate. I'll say that again. Every level of spiritual growth that you want to go to will be determined by the increase of faith. God wants to take you into greater things, bigger things, unbelievable things, unreasonable things, unimaginable, impossible human things. And you can't go there unless your faith grows to be able to believe for that. So if you're going to go to a new level of spiritual growth, your faith must increase. If you get a great big increase in faith, you're going to get to go to a great big new belief place with God. But to get that great big increase of faith is going to take something great big in your life. And that's the part you're in right now that you don't like. Therefore, there is a cycle of faith revealed in every circumstance of your life. There is a cycle of faith being revealed. Those are 3 things I wanted you aware of before we hit the cycle. Does anybody need to hear them again? 1, faith never stays the same. It must grow. 2, every level of spiritual growth is determined by the increase of faith we generate. Number 3, there is a cycle of faith revealed in all circumstances. Now we're going to talk about that cycle. And that's on the board, so you'll be able to write it as we talk about each part. You'll be able to catch up with that. I wrote it first as a circle, but then it goes through 1 through 6, and then it goes to 7. 7 is go back to 1 and start again. And then when I wrote it that way, Patty said, now it looks like a womb. I went, yay, because it's the birthing process of faith. So a womb is better than a circle. So there's your womb. Okay, 1, in the cycle is a new situation. God brings something in your life, something new, something different. Maybe it's something you like, but you still don't understand it and don't know how to do it. Much of the time it is something you don't like. He puts you in a new situation. It's uncomfortable. You don't like it. You don't like it because it's 2. It makes you feel insecure and vulnerable. I haven't had to do this before, so I'm not sure and confident and how to function here. And I feel vulnerable. What if I lose everything? What if I get hurt? What if I mess it up? I am telling you, this game thing, I don't even like to say the word game. I don't like to say the word business. I so fear getting away from the spiritual realm. I don't want to do anything that's not about God. So he's had to about twist my arm. I've written down all the confirmations, got it on paper, put it up on the wall by my desk to remind myself God said to do this new thing. But he didn't explain why. Well, God never does explain why. He doesn't explain himself in the beginning. Because if he did, you would be moving by sight and full understanding. He's trying to increase your faith. So he's not going to explain the why to you. But he told me to do this gaming business artwork, and then I feel guilty when it overtakes my thoughts. And it was overtaking my dreams. And I'm going, oh no, God, I'm dreaming about the game. I want you to own my dreams. So I quit taking my journal to bed, and I'd have a game dream, and I'd go, get out of my brain. I don't want to dream about games. I want to think about God. And after a week or two of doing that, finally I said, God, I can't control my dreams, and I just keep dreaming the game. I must be obsessed with it. And he said, I am giving you the dreams. I wish you'd start listening. He was trying to tell me what to do with the game, and I'm trying to ignore the game. I don't know how to function spiritually in that realm. You know, how do I stay spiritual while I'm just doing that? And I don't know how to function there. So I'm insecure. What if I get away from God? What if, what if, what if? I got all these what ifs going on inside of me. So when we feel vulnerable, we move into three, where we have to face it, accept it. This is what God has for me. This is where he has put me. Whatever your situation is right now, it's on purpose. It may not feel like it ought to be on purpose, but it's on purpose. No matter how horrible it might seem, or difficult, or you may not see it as God, how could this be God? How could he allow this? Why would he do this? The fact that you don't know is part of the test. You have to hang on to Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. If you are called according to his purpose, he's in control. He's in control. Only what he allows can come into your life. We cannot pray out of it. We pray to get through it. We can't say, God, get me out of here. God, get me out of this mess. God, solve this problem. Get me out. We have to pray, where's the grace to go through this? How do I function in this? If this is my trial, my test, my stretching, my faith, how do I function in it? I accept it. Face it and accept it. And then we can confess our doubts, our fears, our selfishness that I don't like it and I don't want it, our stubbornness that we're not going to do this, all of our sins, our grumbling and griping about it and trying to avoid it, anger, whatever has overtaken us about this, confess it all. You're not going to live in me. This is what God has for me. I accept it. I don't know how, but by his grace, I'm going to get through this with him. I accept it. Then number four, we choose to stand and trust God. Okay, God, I've decided this is what you want for me, and I'm here. I'm standing right here where you put me, and I'm going to do this. By your grace, I'm going to do this. If you told me to do it, then I can do it, because I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. I am going to stand, and nothing's going to knock me off my feet. If you're holding on to something, a word from God, and everything seems to be opposite of that, but you know God told you this, this is the time you grab that word, and you don't let go. It doesn't matter what happens. You don't let go. This is where I got the stubborn faith on our promise house. I don't care if it burnt down. I don't care if we got evicted. I don't care if we don't live there. God said I'm going to live there. It's my house. It's my house. It's not my house when I move in it. It's my house the day he said it was my house. I grabbed it, and I've lived every circumstance against it for I don't know how many years. My time calendar's out. I have no time concept. Maybe Janiah could tell me, but I don't know. How many years ago did we lose the house? A lot. That's helpful. Anyway, it's been a lot. And 95, he's awake. Okay, that's how many years is that? 16 years ago. It's my house. I am never going to drop my faith on that. You couldn't pry my fingers off that promise. That's stubborn faith. What has God told you to hang on to? Because you better have something to hang on to when you're going through a trial. You better have something. One thing you better hang on to is your salvation. If you know that you know that you know you have laid your sins on Jesus, don't let go of it just because you don't feel like you're saved today. Don't let go of it because you didn't act like a Christian today, because it didn't depend on you. Hang on to everything He has told you, and don't let go of anything that you know, He said, no matter what it looks like right now. I wouldn't be married to Harvey if he didn't start out with that kind of faith, because he started out telling me that I was going to marry him. At that time in my life, I wasn't even going to be his friend. I wanted him out of my life. My friend, my roommate, brought him there with her boyfriend, and he was living in my house. I was like, to my friend, I'm going to kill you. There's a stalker in my house, and you brought him here, and I don't want him here. And he kept saying, well, I don't care. You're going to marry me. I'm like, oh, my gosh. How do I get away from him? It didn't matter that I told him I didn't like him. I wasn't interested, and I would never change my mind. He said, God said you're going to marry me. So you are. That's stubborn faith. Guess what? He won. Stubborn faith always wins if it's really what God told you. I'm glad he won. He's an awesome guy. So decide you're going to stand on everything God has ever told you. And when you get afraid, remember Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. When all other securities are gone, only God can do what man cannot do. I will trust in God. There comes a time when our obedience and our trust has to outweigh everything else in our life, no matter what happens. There's a time when God starts building your faith when you're a baby. And you go, God, we can't pay the rent. And God pays the rent. And then He takes you to a new level. And the rent's due on the 30th. And you're going, God, today's the 30th. There's still no money. And around the 5th, it shows up. You go, wow, we had a 5-day grace period and we went right to the end of it. But God showed up right in time. But then there comes that level where He didn't show up at all. And you got evicted. And you're going, I trusted in God and He failed me. No, He didn't. He moved you. He didn't want you to live there anymore. He wanted you to live somewhere else now. No matter what, God, I have learned no matter what. Not a what if faith. Well, I'll trust God as long as the rent's paid. I'll trust God as long as there's food on the table. I'll trust God as long as He doesn't send me to Africa. I'll trust God as long as this doesn't happen. I'm going to believe He's going to provide. No, you need to move to a level. It doesn't matter if He provides or not, because my security is God Himself. If I lose everything, God is my everything. If I lose everyone, God will be my everyone. If I lose my life, heaven is my home. See, it can't be dependent on what He does for you. It has to get to a point of no matter what. He is my reward. He is my satisfaction. He's my security. He is everything. So I trust Him no matter what He chooses to do. You are ministers. You are called to lay your life down for another. What did Jesus have? Nothing. He passed the test of not letting money be the root of all evil. He didn't have money. He didn't have a home. He didn't have a wife. He didn't have anything. He decided not to have anything that could be a root or a hook. So He laid down everything and died and lived and did everything sacrificially because of love for another. He wants to live through us. So how can our faith depend on what He's doing to keep us comfortable? It can't. Sometimes our being uncomfortable is the only way He can reach another person. Sometimes if you love Him enough, you have to let the sufferings of Christ be completed in you, that he can win another person. It's not always about you getting what you want in the end. That's the old level. We have to get beyond that. And then we come to the enduring. And I believe number five is where we're at. We're at the point of endure. I think you've all reached this place. I think that most of you in this room have laid down your life. You've accepted the test. You're in the struggle. You faced it. You've accepted it. You've chosen to stand for God. And you still don't even know what's going on or why, but you're enduring. And that's where he wants to encourage you tonight. It's on the point of enduring. Some people decide to live with a cut-down dream. They decide that what they thought God had for them is never going to happen. And they settle. I'm not going to settle. And you shouldn't settle. If Harvey has been told that hundreds of thousands and millions are going to be reached through this ministry, we're not going to settle. We're not going to settle. That is his word. We're hanging on to it. Hang on to what he's told you in the dark hour. No cut down dreams. You prove your faith during the trials. The just shall live by faith. God has given you an opportunity to exercise your faith and break through in a new level. You must stand firm and endure this point. James 1, 2 through 8. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. You like that sentence? Yay, I'm going into divers temptations again. I'm so happy. I'm counting this joy. It didn't say you're going to feel joyful. It said consider it your joy for what you're going to gain from it. Knowing. How do you count it joy? The rest of the verse. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Would you like to be patient? Then you have to have your faith tried. But let patience have her perfect work. That word perfect means complete. Let patience, allow patience to do a complete work in you. It doesn't come in one day. That you may be complete, perfect, entire, wanting nothing, lacking in nothing. Wouldn't you like for God to say, there you are, Glenn, you made it. You're up on this level. Now you lack nothing and we can just go after the whole world. Because you're finished. You're completed. You're ready for what I put you here to do. Wouldn't that be awesome? Won't that be awesome? If any of you lack wisdom, it's really funny because I use this verse all the time with moms about raising your kids. Because moms are like, you know, every other 2 minutes, what do I do now? You know, pulling your hair out. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will freely give you. There is a promise. Grab onto it. When God gives you an unconditional promise, you better hang on to it. And he said, while you're in the trial, know that you're in a trial of your faith. And while you're there, if you don't know what to do, ask God wisdom. So this is a time when you're in this trial. With faith, you have to go to God and say, God, I don't know what to do, but ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let that man not think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, okay, here you are. You don't know what to do, and you're going to grab a hold of this verse. God, you said, if I asked you wisdom, you would give it to me. I'm asking, and I expect you to give me an answer. And when you do, I'm going to believe you. Now, it may not come that very minute, but sometime after you pray that, a thought will come, and you'll think, that's what God's telling me. And then the devil will come and want to toss you around on that wave and say, that's not God. That couldn't be God. That must be your own thought. And then you throw it away. God said, you can't receive anything. When you ask him for wisdom, believe that he's bringing it and trust the thought that he brings. Grab it. That's something to hang on to. God's promised me wisdom in the midst of this endurance. And I'm going to ask him for it, and then I'm going to hang on to it when I get it. When I learned to do that, I began to move forward for God. When I learned to believe the thought was God, my daughter asked me, Jamie, how do you know what God is saying to you? Because I've decided to believe him. I've decided to believe the thoughts that come when I'm talking to him are him. And I've learned how to discern the voice of the enemy. He beats me up. He doesn't like me. He likes to rail on me, accuse me, tear me down, and tell me things are... That's not my God. And I know my thought, my fleshly carnal, I'm lazy and I don't want to do it. I don't like it, but except God, I don't want to. That's me. I know my voice too. So when God comes and says something, I've learned to believe it's Him and act on it. What if I'm wrong? Well, then He'll forgive me. But He'd rather I be wrong than to never act on what He says. So start asking Him what to do. There's only one way to develop stability in your spiritual life. That is, you're going to decide to believe God, to trust God, and to obey God, and then to wait on God. To wait on God. We come up with our own solutions. We come up with ways out of the thing we don't like. We create our own escape hatch from the thing we don't want to go through. And that song by Missy Edwards, somebody tell me this song, because all I do is hang on to one line out of it. Not as though He should do things my way. Anybody know which song that came out of? Not as though He should do things my way. That song just pops in my head whenever I'm trying to argue with God. 1 Peter 1:6-9, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, for a season, if need be, I love that, right now, it's just a season, if need be. You only are where you are because you need to be. If need be, God has put you in this. You are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Wow, you're telling me that God says I need to be in manifold temptations and heaviness? Yeah. If you're in it, you need to be in it. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, it might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. When He appears, when Jesus manifests Himself to us again, it's all worth it. It's all worth it. One moment in His very presence, and everything you just went through is worth it. And you know what? And that's when the faith to say, I'd go through it again. I'll endure next time if He's the reward at the end of the trial. I'll do it again. Whom having not seen, you love. Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. With whom, though now you see Him not, there are times when He hides. Though right now in this heaviness you don't see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. What is the end of your faith? What are you believing for? If you're believing He's going to give you a house, if you're believing He's going to give you money, if you're believing He's going to give you the thing you want, if you're believing for what you want, then maybe the end of your faith isn't getting satisfied. The end of our faith is when He shall appear. He is the reward. He is the reward. And He is worth it all. The salvation of your soul. We are saved. All our sins are paid for. But our souls are trapped. Our soul is our emotions. They're still trapped. Our mindsets, our belief systems, our thoughts, still trapped. We want to get delivered from them. Saved from all of our deceptions and lies. Saved from all of our hurt emotions and that's what we want to get saved from so we can live in the spirit of truth and freedom. And this is the only way to get there. The trying of your faith. The cycle. New level. More freedom. When Jesus shall appear, praise and honor and glory and joy unspeakable, He is our reward. Some people trust in God and say, I believed Him, but I didn't get what I was waiting for. And you weren't waiting for the right thing. When we get to number 6, we now have a deeper faith. At every level, we will eventually pass from faith into knowledge. Finally, at the end of it, we understand. Now we got it. Now we know. And now we have moved into a place where we say, oh, God did come through. God did do something for me. God did take this out of my life, or heal me of that, or help me overcome this, or change something in me. Whatever it is that God does in the end, finally it's no longer just faith, but now it's knowing. We have a stable, secure knowledge of God, who He is, how He works. And He doesn't have to perform and prove Himself to us. We have learned to trust Him. And we go, well, don't worry about it. God knows what He's doing. I trust Him. We get to that kind of a faith, even for what we've never experienced before. We can believe Him for new things. We can learn. We can grow. We can understand. We can begin to see His plan and His will. We come to a solid knowledge that we can build on, and that knowledge is God is good. God is faithful. All the time. He did have a reason. He did have a plan. I couldn't see it, but He had a plan and He had a good reason. He can be trusted. Now I've seen that and my faith is solid. And so we think. Until number 7 brings us to number 1 and we enter a new situation and go to another level of faith. There's usually a breather in the middle and there's a whole lot of Jesus there, you know, to flood us up with all the reward before we have to enter the next level. And that's why we're willing to go there. 2 Corinthians 5:1 through something, I don't know where it ends up yet. Therefore, we are confident, and I say willing, rather, to be absent from the body, from the flesh, and to be present with the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. What do you want, the height of your faith, to be able to believe for? It's not just a gift that He just hands out. It's something He exercises you into. That level of faith. God never explains Himself before an event, but He gives you just enough revelation and instruction to get through it. Just enough to trust and obey. God gives us opportunities to increase our faith. We get to choose how we respond to those opportunities. Trusting or fall apart in despair. I told you a couple weeks ago about a vision that I had recently at the cross with Jesus, where I was just loving Him on the cross, and He was receiving that love and saying that He's timeless. So He can go forward in time, backward in time. So even while He's on the cross, He can experience. He could experience the love we would one day give Him, which would hold Him to that cross. Well, as I was reading my journals this morning, I wasn't going to read anymore because I already had this ready, and He said, there's something you need to add to it. My words. And I went back to what He told me to look at. And I had a vision, because I've had this vision like 3 times where I visit Jesus on the cross. So this is the vision from 2001, and the words He spoke to me in this vision, He said, are for you today. So I'm going to share this with you. Jesus was on the cross. He took me there, and I was inside of Him. So I was like I was in Him, feeling everything that He was feeling. And I felt this great essence of life and this power of love just emanating from the cross. And there was meekness and surrender and suffering. But there was also this vibrating, awesome power, and it was His love. And the power of His love could have done absolutely anything. It was so powerful He could have freed Himself and got down off the cross. But His eyes and His heart were fixed through eternity, in the past, in the future, at all men ever created. And He loved them so much that He turned His powerful life force to the cross to hold Himself, to endure. He said, all the power of love I have must focus on my cross to keep me here. All of His desire to escape was captured and overpowered. His focus was held on us. As I loved Him and I thanked Him and I worshipped Him in His awesome beauty, His eyes met mine and revealed how timeless He is. And while He was on the cross, He could enjoy and endure because of our love for Him. Our love sustained Him. He has poured out love in His presence on us at different times. And then we come to the dry times. We come to the trials and we come to the hard stuff. And I cried and I said that day, God, if I could only bring people right here into your presence like this, they would stay. They'd never go away if they could experience this love. And this is what the Lord said to me. He said, I'm looking for the few who stay. When times are hard, when times are dry, to those I will return and I will give more of my spirit. I'm looking for the few. There was a word more in that day. Every time we went to church, the cry was, more, Lord! More, Lord! And he said to those who stay, I will give more. I asked, what would you say, God, to those few? And he said, first, I say to the many, many are called, but few are chosen. The call is to you. I call you, and if you stay, you will be chosen. To the few, I say, endure, persevere, believe in me, trust me. I will not disappoint you. Wait, wait, wait. I promise you, it is worth the wait. More than you have ever imagined, more than you have even asked me for. I have heard every cry for more, and so much more is coming to you. Be faithful. Be found in faith when I come. Be not weary in well-doing. In due season you shall reap if you do not faint. Reach out your hand and grab the word endure. Grab onto that word endure and decide, determine, you will never stop enduring. I want you to pass the test. Mercy is abundant for every failure. Just get up and endure again and again and again. I shouted in the thunder. Hear me in every noise of thunder. Hear me shout, endure! I am coming! I write it in the sky with bolts of lightning. Endure! I am coming! I whisper it in the ears of your heart. Please endure. I am coming. This morning I say to you, take a two-handed outreach grab and hang on to his cross. Grab that word endure like he asked you to, but with it, grab onto that cross. Grab the cross of Christ. Let his enduring love fill you and turn everything of your life force to the cross he has put in your life right now. And decide, for the sake of love, you're going to endure. You're going to endure until he comes. Endure to the end, because he is coming. Father, burn your words into us. May every time we hear the thunder, may we hear you shouting, endure. You are coming. Every time we see a lightning bolt, know that you're writing it to remind us to endure. You are coming. Let us hear the whisper upon our hearts. Let us grab onto that word and say, I will stand, I will endure, I will never give up or stop trusting, because I do trust my God and I won't stop believing. Put endurance into us, God, because we're right at number 5 and ready for number 6. We're ready for the breakthrough to the new level, and we have to endure to the end of this trial to get there. I'm not going back 3, God. I'm not going back 3. I'm going to endure. Take us up, Lord. Take us up. Be our reward. Be our motivation. Just you. Just your presence. Just your goodness. Because we know you are faithful. You are faithful and good to the end. Thank you, Jesus.